Father, we just bless you today. We're so thankful that it's not just us here. You're here. And we thank you for that, Father. So may your presence today, Father, make the cutting edge difference in the way that I deliver, the way that I speak, so that we can rise up to a full measure. Thank you for meeting every need of every person here. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to look at a verse here in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19, if you would. I chose that picture. Go back to that picture there, you know, because this reminds me of when I was a kid and when I started getting the guts to jump into the deep water. How many remember those days? You know? And it's just like a freedom. You jump out, you let go. Amen? Maybe some people need to learn to do that still. I don't know. But bold faith, stepping out, praise God. But in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19, the scripture says this, having therefore brethren, well, the word brethren means Christian folks, so he's writing to you and I. He says, having therefore brethren, boldness. Everybody say boldness. Boldness. Okay. To enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Notice it's by the blood of Jesus. So we went into detail about that, talking about the blood of Jesus gives you and I supernatural rights and to enter into the holiest of all. Now, we would call that the Holy of Holies, okay? If you're familiar with that, in the Old Testament, you know, the high priest could only go in there once a year, very precautious. You know, I mean, everything had to be done just perfect. If it wasn't, he would drop dead. That was man's sinful condition under the Old Testament. Now, you and I, we can come boldly into the throne of grace, to the throne. Why? Because of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, we saw that boldness means a strong confidence. There's other definitions for it, but I like this one the most. Boldness is a strong confidence. Not just confidence, but strong confidence in God. Now, we can come boldly to the throne of grace because of the blood of Jesus. That blood of Jesus Christ is, the Bible says that we were not, in Peter it says that we were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but we were bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Sinless, spotless. You can't even put a price tag on it. Amen? Where's that? Fort Knox, Kentucky, I think it is, where they have all the gold. Is that what it is? Okay. The blood of Jesus, it blows that out of the water. Amen. As far as you can't even put a price tag on it. Hallelujah. And you and I have been bought with this precious blood of Jesus that gives you and I access by prayer right to the throne of God with boldness and with confidence. Even when you miss it. It says, let us come to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. When we start to grasp the revelation of the power of the blood of Jesus, there is no disease, there is no addiction, there is nothing that can keep you down when you understand the power of the blood of Jesus. That blood has enough power to wipe out every sin you've ever committed. Brother Tom sang that beautiful song this morning, you know, as far as the east is from the west. Now, it's interesting because we live in this earth that's round, you know. Years ago, that was a revelation to some people. They thought it was just a flat piece of ground, you know. But, you know, it's interesting because if you started traveling north, eventually you would reach south. Then you would eventually reach north again. But when you travel east to west, let's say you're going east, you'll never reach west. If you keep going east, you'll never reach. That's, the Bible says, as far as not the north from the south, but as far as the east is from the west, he's removed our transgressions. In other words, there's such a wide gap, you can't even see the end of it. That's how far his mercy is and how far he's removed our transgressions. Amen. Praise God. So no matter how bad you think you've messed up in your life, I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus is strong enough to wash you, cleanse you, set your feet on a rock, lift your feet out of the miry clay, and set your foot on a rock and establish your going. Praise God. So this scripture here, it says, we have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now today, what I want to talk about in conclusion today is how to increase your boldness. How to increase your boldness. If you go to Acts chapter 4, turn over there with me, Acts chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 12 through 14. Thank you, Lord. Are you ready this morning? Acts 4, verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now look at verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John," notice that word boldness. It says, "When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. And they marveled, they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with him, they could say nothing against it." He was 40 years old, remember that? And this guy was healed. He was lame and he was supernaturally healed. But notice the phrase in verse 13, "When they saw the boldness of Peter and John," you know, they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Now, the first key to increase your boldness is by spending time with Jesus. Okay? They took knowledge. And I'm going to read this 13th verse out of the New Living Translation, if you'd bring that up. That's Acts 4:13 out of the New Living. It says, "The members of the council were amazed, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they could see that these were ordinary men with no special training in the Scriptures." Notice that. "And they also recognized as men who had been with Jesus." So in other words, they didn't have all the natural credentials. They didn't have a PhD and a master's degree, and nothing wrong with that. You understand what I mean? But it says right there that they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Can you be with Jesus? Can I be with Jesus? Yes. Assuredly, yes. Hallelujah. Now, the great thing about you and I is that back in the days of Jesus, while he walked this earth in his humanity state, Jesus could not be two places at one time. They had to go where he was. If you wanted to be a Jesus, you had to go. That's why the woman with the issue of blood had to pack her bags and take off and find out where he was. That's why Jairus had to go hunt him, go look for him. That's why the people that let down their friend through the roof, they had to go find where he was. So you could see there's such a disadvantage of that, because geographically you could only be at one place at one time in his humanity state. Now, after this cross, after the burial resurrection of Jesus Christ, now Jesus was resurrected, he could be everywhere at the same time. Praise God. Someone says, "Man, I want to just go to Jerusalem and just feel a precious anointing from God." You don't have to go to Jerusalem to feel that. You can have it right here in this place. In the Courtyard Marriott. Are you with me now? So it's funny, through the years, you know, people have all kind of gimmicks. You know, they get, you know, water from the Jordan River and said, "This is holy, special water," you know. And all it is a money-making scheme, to be honest with you, sometimes, you know. And they just, this holy water, you know. Listen, that's a bunch of baloney. Are you with me? If you touch water, it becomes holy. Amen? Because the God of the universe lives on the inside of you. Amen. Now, notice it says there in that verse right there that they saw that these were just ordinary men. Now, that blesses me, because I'm just an ordinary guy. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I'm not proud of it, but I'm blessed that I made it through high school. I'm glad I graduated. You know what I'm saying? I did not graduate with honors. All right? Now, back in those days, things would be a lot different now. But I didn't have a lot of purpose at that point in my life, you know. And then it was after that that God called me to the ministry. But I'm sure I would do things differently now. Okay? I was just thanking God. I made it through. Amen. Got my certificate. Bless the Lord. But you notice it says that these were not educated people, as we would say it, you know. And now that's not to put down people that have education. Get all you can. Amen. But just don't let it stand in the way. Are you with me? But it says that they took knowledge of these guys. These are basic blue-collar workers of the day. Peter and John, fishermen. You know, smelly fishermen. How many of you know fish don't smell very good after a while? Hallelujah. And, I mean, these are not the most prestigious people of the day. But It says they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Are you with me? One day, a couple of years, well, this has probably been about 10 years ago, we were at our normal spot that we go to every August. We go on vacation. We just like to go to the beach and just relax for a week. Amen. And I remember there was a woman, an older woman, actually. She was probably in her mid-60s. This is like 10 years ago. And down in the south in Carolina, they have these ditches alongside of the road. It's all flat. So when it rains real hard, I mean, there's just water everywhere, you know. And this woman was pulling out. We were at a restaurant, a seafood restaurant at the beach. We were pulling out. And this lady, she tried pulling her car out and didn't see a big ditch there. She went down. Her front wheels went down inside the ditch. And she got hung up on there. And her tires were in midair. So she had to get a tow truck and all this. And she, now I didn't know it at the time, but she was staying at the same condominiums that we were staying at. I didn't know that at the time. So I went over and said, boy, you're in a mess here. Is there anything I can do to help you? You know, I just started talking to her, you know, and that was about it. And so a tow truck came, pulled her out. The very next day, it was a beautiful sunny day, and I'm walking up these set of steps, going up a bunch of steps, actually, to get to where we were, you know. And I ran into this lady, and I recognized her right away. And she goes, I just saw you last night, didn't I? I go, yeah, you got set free, or your car did. And then she stopped at me. She looked at me. She goes, what is it about you? And I thought, you know, I'm thinking negatively, you know, what is it about you? Well, what do you mean? She goes, I don't. She goes, there's something different about you. I said, is it good or bad? I'm having this, she's from New York, you know, she's got the New York accent, you know what I mean? I'm talking to her. And precious lady. In fact, I see her, we see her almost every year. She still gets down there, you know. And she goes, no, there's just something different about you. And, well, I had an opportunity to share the Lord with her. See, she recognized that there was something different. Now, I was clueless. I had no earthly idea. I wasn't like looking in the mirror and I saw shafts of life shining out the top of my head. I was just being me. You know what I mean? I mean, hey, I'm on vacation. You know what I'm saying? I'm just being me. Just be, you know, you can't help but be friendly to people when you know Jesus. Okay? It's not like you have to put her on and say, all right, now let's be friendly to people today. When you're walking with Jesus Christ, I mean, whether you're in church, out of church, down at the mall, in the bank, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience. Those fruits come out of us, and fruit was meant to be picked. Okay? You see, fruit is never grown for the benefit of the tree. It's always grown for the benefit of those around us. Amen? And when people see that kind of fruit, they want to pick it off because they want that. Deep down, they want that. Well, I was able to share the gospel with this lady as a result of that. Amen? Now, it says right here that they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. I think it was just an unconscious thing. How many of you know that you become who you hang out with? The Bible says that a companion of fools will destroy a person. Amen? But if you want to hang out with, if you want to be wise, the Bible says, hang out with wise people.
Yeah.
Are you with me now?
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean that you don't reach down into the gutter to pull someone up once in a while to help them, you know. Yeah. But I'm telling you what, that who you spend most of your time with, fellowshipping with,
right,
on a good, bad, or good, either good or bad, you will eventually become just like them.
That's right. Absolutely.
You are, someone said, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Praise God. I get that. Amen? Because I like hanging out with people, ministers and so forth, that are up here in my estimation. You know what I'm saying? Not that they're not better than me. It's not that. Okay? It's just that someone is more developed in areas. Man, I want to hang out with them. I want to spend some time with them. So if I'm just spending a bunch of time with a bunch of lowlifes that don't have any purpose or drive in their lives to go anywhere, I'm not being critical. You understand what I'm saying? But there are people that don't want help. There are people that do not want to move forward. There are people that don't want to come up higher.
That's right.
Okay?
Amen.
That's just the facts. That's just the reality. Amen?
Amen.
See, I would rather have it, as a pastor, I would rather have a church of people that have a bunch of problems, but they have the right heart. Amen? Because if someone has the right heart, they're going to get help.
Amen.
They're going to get help. But someone that thinks they got their act together and they're better than everybody else, there's no hope for them.
That's right. That's true.
Jesus said it's just like the Pharisees.
Yeah.
Okay? They're better than everybody else. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
But, you know, give me a church of people that have all kind of problems. But if their heart's right, mm-hmm. if their heart's right, there's help waiting there to be seen. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
So the first thing about how do you increase your boldness is by spending time with Jesus. And I just want to just mention that again, because when you spend time with him, just start out where you're at. Talk to God like he's your friend. All right? See, I used to think years ago that, and that's one of the reasons I ran from the call of God, is I thought I had to be like a monk and go live in a monastery and just blow off everybody and just live a boring, dull life. No, that's not what God has for us. But I'm telling you, you can spend time with Jesus driving down the street in your vehicle, walking down the sidewalk. I mean, just get up in the morning, good morning, Jesus, and talk to him just like a friend. And what amazed me years ago is that he started talking back to me.
Amen.
Say, who'd you talk to today? God. Say, what? Someone said one time, man, I'm afraid of those Christians that are always hearing from God. You know, I'm afraid of the ones that aren't. Amen? Now, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they're not going to follow.
Yeah.
Boy, when you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, you hear love.
Yeah.
Oh, you always hear love.
Amen.
There's some people, they think they hear from God, and they're hearing from the devil.
That's right.
Amen? But Jesus is very kind.
Yeah.
Jesus is very loving.
Yes.
Jesus is very winsome. Jesus is very attractive. And that's why I love to talk about Jesus, because he is everything. He is everything to you and to me. And without him, we're nothing. You take Jesus out of the equation, we're reduced to a religious circle, and that is it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no life in that.
No.
But spending time with Jesus, spending time with Jesus makes all the difference in the world. And when you, and it's, you know, it's just like it's an unconscious thing. It's an unconscious thing. And when you walk into an environment where there's other people, what's in you is going to come out. The scriptures tells us in the Gospels, it says, in Matthew's chapter 12, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. The evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things.
Awesome.
So my question to you is this. What are we depositing in us on a regular basis?
Mm-hmm.
What happens in your bank account if there's not enough funds in there and you write a check out? It bounces like a basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And you get one of those little thin envelopes in the mail. $40, because you just bounced a check.
Yeah.
Anybody ever here gotten those before? Okay, all right. That's not a fun thing. I think we all have it sometime.
I got one in the mail right now, actually.
Lord help us. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Is that if you have adequate resources in your bank account, then you don't fear writing a check out. You're not like... Years ago, you know, we used to go to the grocery store. I'd take a calculator with me, because we only had so much to spend on groceries, you know, and sometimes we had to put things back.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God those days are behind us. Amen?
Amen.
We had to put things behind. I can't buy that. Not enough money for that. Man, I became a professional with that calculator. Just wore the buttons out. They'd start sticking in. They wouldn't come out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, thank God where we came from. Amen? But we don't have to stay there. Amen? But see, spending time with Jesus is the best thing you could ever do. Now, why do people have a hard time even committing themselves to Jesus? Okay? Now, I can say it because I was there. I used to be afraid to serve Jesus because I thought he would put certain things on me that I didn't want to do. I thought I could never have fun again. One of the things I used to a thought that prevailed in my mind, I don't know where it came from, but I thought, surely, when I was a teenager, I felt the call of God in my life when I was a young teenager, probably around 12 years old, actually. And the only thing that I knew about God was my Methodist church that I came out of. And so, I would look at the minister up there, and he had those sashes that would go over the pulpit, and hang way down there. Whatever. Is that what they call those things? A real shiny, shimmery-looking thing, with crosses on it and all that. Well, I got some of this from my bedroom. I was 12 years old, and I'd hang it over my chest of drawers where I keep my clothes. It would hang down there because that's the only way I knew to get close to God. Because if the minister did that, he looked real holy up there. He'd stand up there with that shimmery robe on. And I didn't get a robe. That wasn't cool. But see, that's how I identified with what getting close to God at that time of my life. That's my understanding. That's how limited that I was in my understanding. And I used to think, too, that if I answered the call of God in my life, just as sure as I did that, he was going to send me to the bush in Africa, which I didn't want to go. I could see myself going to Africa. I used to think this. Now, I never verbalized it. It was just inside me. I thought, that's it. I'm no more friends, no more fun. This is going to be a boring life, Listen, that's the furthest thing from the truth, because the enemy will try to tell you things about God that are not true. He'll tell you, if you start serving God, you can't have any fun anymore. He's a liar. Okay? I tell you, Christians ought to be the happiest, fun-loving people on the earth. My goodness. Man, we can have a party without Budweiser. Are you with me now? It's actually should be called Bud Dumber. Just stop and think about it. Praise God. I don't have to have a beer to have a good time. You understand what I'm saying? But so many people associate having a good time with, you're a man if you do that. Are you with me? That's the only side that they show. Hollywood shows that's the only side to it. But I'm telling you, you get intoxicated with Jesus. I mean, you can have more fun than you know what to do with yourself. Amen? Hallelujah. Not have a hangover the next day. You can enjoy your Christianity. Amen? I'm telling you, joy is, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is not what you eat or drink. There's a southern translation of the Bible that says the kingdom of God is not coffee and donuts. There is. Okay. What's the name of that translation? It'll come to me. But it's a southern rendition of the Bible, New Testament, But the kingdom of God is not what we eat. Ben Campbell Johnson translation, that's it. Okay. It's not, the kingdom of God is not what we eat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You see, whoever controls our joy really controls us. Amen. My goodness, we're all over the place here. But number one, how do you increase your boldness? By spending time with Jesus. And when you spend time with Jesus, you become like the Master. Jesus wasn't a wimp. Jesus wasn't feminized. He was a man's man. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Jesus was perfect example of what a man should be like. Kind, but yet strong. Gentle, but yet bold. Hallelujah. He was the perfect combination of all those things. And when you spend time with Jesus, you become like him. I surprise myself sometimes because I'm thinking I'm going to act a certain way in a certain situation, and you're working with folks or whatever, and praying with people. I get into this prayer and start praying. It's like the Lion of the Tribe of Judah just rises up on the inside of me, And all of a sudden, whew, just comes flowing out of me, Well, I didn't think I'd pray like that. Then there's other times I think I'm going to go in there and do that very thing, and it comes out real soft and real gentle. You know what I mean? But see, Jesus ministers to the lambs, but he's also a lion. He's the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. That's what he's called. Amen? And a lion, the Bible says, righteous are as bold as a lion in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. Hallelujah. Now let's go over to Ephesians and we'll wrap this up here today. But in Ephesians chapter 6. So the first way to increase your boldness is by spending time with Jesus. Praise God. Can anybody here use some more boldness in your life? Okay? Sinners are bold.
That's right. They are.
They're bold about sin. They're bold about corruption. They're bold about the way things are. Why can't we be more bold? And I'll tell you the only reason, we'll get into this here in just a second, the only reason that we're not more bold as Christians is because of fear. Intimidation and fear. Satan is the spirit of fear. He doesn't have fear. He is fear. And fear will come in different forms and fashions, but at the bottom line, it all comes from him. Okay? It all stems from Satan, fear. But notice in Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 18. This is the second way that you can increase your boldness, by praying for boldness. It's scriptural for you and for me to pray for boldness. All right? That's Ephesians 6, verse 18. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Okay? Matter of fact, before that, you know, we're not going to read it here because of time, but that's when Paul talks about the armor of God. We're to put on the armor so that we can go into the field of prayer. You put on the breastplate of righteousness because you know you're righteous when you go before God, so you can pray. When you don't have the breastplate on and you go before the Lord in prayer, you feel unworthy. You think, I don't know if I should be here. I don't know if I really belong here in prayer. But when you have the breastplate of righteousness on, you know you're righteous because of the blood. You can step right in there with confidence and with boldness when you pray. Having the helmet of salvation, that's having your mind renewed with the Word of God. And the sword of the Spirit, that's the Word of God. And all these wonderful pieces of armor here. All for the reason that we can go and be effective in our prayers. Because verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And as for me, verse 19, now Paul is a minister, he's a preacher. He says, as for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly. You see that? Boldly, and make known the mystery of the gospel. Now notice verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So you see this word bold used a couple of times right here. Now let me ask you a question. In the book of Ephesians, where is Paul writing this letter from? He's in jail. Okay? He's not there for theft or anything like that or whatever. He's there because he's preaching the gospel. So Paul was asking the church at Ephesus to pray that he would have, notice this, that he might have utterance in verse 19, and then he would speak boldly. So here are two ways that you can not only pray for a minister, but you can pray this for yourself as well. And I pray this constantly. Oh, Father, give me utterance today that I might open my mouth and speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, the circumstances in which Paul wrote this, he was in prison. And there was no immediate understanding that he would be released from prison. So the circumstances, now here's what I saw when I was preparing for this today. The circumstances that Paul was in, and I'll take it a step further here, that the type of prisons that they had back in these days, and this is an absolute fact, okay, is that these are not like the prisons that we have today. They got televisions, everything's clean and tidy, you know what I'm saying? We're talking the prisons here were areas in which the sewage of the city would run through the prison. Everyone know what sewage is? All right, we need to go into detail. And Paul, the apostle, was in these prisons, these germ-infested, disgusting prisons where there was raw sewage running through. Can you imagine that? And nowhere to sit down, all right? And intimidation like you wouldn't believe. And yet Paul says, pray that utterance may be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. Matter of fact, he told the church at Philippi one time when he was in jail there, he says, I know that your prayer shall make this turn to this, my deliverance. In other words, when you pray, he goes, that's going to turn this situation around. I'm going to be delivered from this prison. And guess what? He was. He goes, I'm confident that your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ will deliver me from this rat-infested prison. That's paraphrased. So they prayed for him, and he was delivered. Now, I'm saying all that to say this, that you can pray for boldness, but Paul was in the most horrible circumstances when he said that. So, you and I, we're not in a prison. But there are other things that will try to push you down to squelch the life that's on the inside of you. Circumstances, sometimes it can be a physical problem in your body. Sometimes it can be a relational problem, a financial problem, whatever. The list can go on. And all these circumstances are meant to push you and me down so that we're not confident, so that we're not bold. Okay? And I think it's kind of neat because the Lord used people in the most adverse circumstances you can imagine. Even Paul the Apostle said, I was the chiefest of sinners. Mm-hmm. He says, so that in me might be found a pattern of God's long-suffering and kindness. When people look at Paul and see how bad he was, we think Al Capone's bad. Paul the Apostle was worse. But he said, God showed me his long suffering so that other people, when they look on me, they can say, well, there's hope for me if there's hope for him.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Paul was in the most crazy circumstances, horrible, adverse circumstances. And yet in the midst of that, the enemy's purpose behind that is to put a lid on you, to make you shut up, quit serving God, get offended at God, ultimately,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
And Paul talked about that when he was in prison. He said even on one occasion, you know, in the book of Philippians, he says that some preach Christ out of the wrong motive.
Yeah.
But he said the main thing is Christ is being preached. Mm. Others out of a pure heart. He's talking about being in prison. And so when we face adversity in our lives, what do you and I need? We need a good dose of holy boldness. Amen. Now, why is that so important, Brother Keith? Why is boldness so important? Because, again, we're not talking about arrogance. We're talking about confidence. I know in whom I believe. I am fully persuaded he's able to deliver me from that fiery furnace. Glory to God. And there's a confidence. There's a strong confidence. And, you know, folks, this is something that we're all growing in. All right? I haven't reached my plateau. My goodness, no. I need more. Okay? And I'm always striving for more. I want more confidence, more boldness in Christ. Because
yeah.
The circumstances of this life can do one of two things.
Yeah.
They can either crush you.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Now you stop and think about this.
Yeah.
I still belong to this particular gym. I haven't been there in about 7 months or whatever. But every time I go in there, they move all the equipment around. Like, where's this now? Oh, it's over here now, you know. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not active, okay? You know what I'm saying? Okay, I know how to walk to the kitchen and, you know, just kidding. No, I go outside. It's nice to be outside and do things, you know. But weights do not make you strong. They don't make you strong. They don't. And you can buy the best outfit. I mean, you can get all the Nike gear and all this, I mean, whatever, you know, that's out there. Really fancy looking stuff, you know. I mean, expensive looking stuff. And you can walk through that gym, you'll be just as weak. Weights do not make you strong. It's when you resist the weights. When you resist pressure, you resist weight. They call it resistance training and stuff like that. When you push weight away, what happens? Your muscles begin to get stronger. But at first, there's pain. Lactic acid, I think they call it. That's from the pit of hell, man. I must have a lot of lactic acid. You ever do that? You haven't done anything for a while, and you go up, and you just, I'm going to do it this time. Bless God, you've seen the videos and all this stuff. You get out there, and you can't even... One time I couldn't even put my jacket on. I was so sore. I was like, you're going to have to help me put my arm in this coat, you know, and just did a little bench pressing and stuff. You know, I thought, what, does it come to this, you know? But, you know, sooner or later, if you keep it up, that pain leaves, okay? But see, a lot of people's pain threshold is only this far. But if you're able to work through the pain,
yeah,
there's going to be great gain.
That's good.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I'm talking not only naturally, but spiritually as well, yeah. Emotionally.
Yes.
There are things sometimes you go through a pain and, oh, dear Lord.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's good.
Mm-hmm. And you can only handle this much, because when you hit your head against that pain threshold, mm-hmm. you're thinking, I remember what happened 2 years ago. Oh, yeah, I remember what happened in that relationship. Wham, boom, boom. And so even something that even smells remotely like the past
yeah.
reminds you of what happened back there. You're like, I ain't going there. And it may not have anything to do with that circumstance that you had 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So we have to be willing to work through some pain in order to get some real good gain.
Mm-hmm.
What's that saying that is? No pain, no gain. All right? Mm-hmm. Praise God. Circumstances of life are meant to push you down. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And when you're moving upward in life and you're moving forward in God, not everybody's going to be happy. Maybe even people in your own household sometimes, they may not be really happy. I'm not prophesying that, but I'm saying that it's just a fact, you know? One spouse wants to grow in God, the other's not real excited about it. You know, it happens all the time. Like, you know, you're all gung-ho. Man, I want to go all out for Jesus. I want to go for the gold, you know. And, you know, that husband or that wife may not be to that point yet. You know what I'm saying? They might be sitting back saying, well, I don't know about this, you know. And, you know, they've been fellowshipping with Brother Skeptical. And Brother Skeptical goes, says, you better be careful of those people down there. Because you know how they are. Are you with me? But it just is better to let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah.
Look, I've made decisions, you've made decisions that don't please everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But who are we supposed to please?
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to please the Father.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And when we please the Father, we can have peace. We can lay down and put our heads on that pillow at night, and we can have peace and we can have rest.
Yeah.
Amen? I don't know about you, but I like a good challenge. I'm telling you, I like a good challenge sometimes because I want to grow.
Mm-hmm.
I want to grow. I don't want to be stuck in the mud. I don't want to be stuck in the past. I want to be able to move forward, move on, move upward.
Yeah.
Praise God. Because
mm-hmm.
that's where Jesus is at.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. So if you find yourself today in a pressurized situation, whatever that may be, you're in the best place that you could possibly be right now. Oh, yeah, could have fooled me, Brother Keith, you know. Now, wait a minute. There's grace available to you today. There's grace available, power available to you to help you with your current situation. So what you have to do is you have to learn to break through. You have to work through that stuff you don't understand, because your mind will say, I don't understand this, you know. Doesn't make sense to me, you know. That makes sense to me, but this doesn't make sense to me. Listen, don't lean to your own understanding. If you seek first the kingdom of God, He will add all things to you. Praise God. We're not just people say, oh, they're just a bunch of weak people, those Christians down there. You know what I'm saying? They need a crutch. No, listen to me. Every person needs Jesus. We can't do it on our own. Praise God. Paul said, pray for me that I'll have utterance and I'll have boldness. Kenneth Hagin gave a prophecy about 35 years ago, and he was teaching on this subject. And I'll never forget it, and I'll just quote it the best way I can. And he said this, just a little more boldness on the part of some would mean the difference of defeat or victory. Just a little more boldness on the part of some ministers would mean the difference between revival and lack. Amen. Just a little more boldness. Hallelujah. So, church, body of Christ here today, I want to encourage you, especially when you're by yourself, it's just you and God, to start to pray with more boldness. Hallelujah. Pray with more confidence. Don't be timid. Don't be backward. Be bold, because the blood made you worthy. His blood made you righteous. Thank you, Jesus. Can you handle one more scripture here? We've got about 5 minutes here. Go to 2 Timothy, and this is it. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And this is all the scriptures I have for today. 2 Timothy chapter 1. So Paul was in prison, but someone said the prison wasn't in him. Amen? Amen. You know, God took the Israelites out of Egypt, but he couldn't get Egypt out of the Israelites. Because they still thought, confessed, talked as if they were still in bondage. When God Almighty, Jehovah, delivered them out and drowned their enemies in the Red Sea. And you could see their mindset even after that happened. They let us make a captain. Let's go back to Egypt. We had leeks and onions back there. That's the kind of stuff they said. When they were getting pressure in the wilderness and everything wasn't given right then and there, God was saying, I'm testing them to see what they're going to do. They said, let's make us a captain and let's go back to Egypt. At least back there we had leeks and onions. Yeah, bad breath too. See, God delivered them, but they still had stinking thinking. And God delivered you and I from the powers and the clutches of Satan. He raised Jesus from the dead. I mean, you've been delivered from the power of darkness, but we don't want to start thinking and acting as if we were still unsaved. We've been delivered. Yeah. I've been delivered. You've been delivered. So we should act like it and talk like it. But notice in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 says, hallelujah. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. To Timothy, my dear beloved son, grace, mercy, peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, whom I serve with my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. So Paul was praying for Mr. Timothy here. Greatly, verse 4, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I might be filled with joy. Now, Paul was praying. Now, real quick here, in 1 Timothy, you have a thriving church. Timothy is the young pastor here. He's probably in his early 20s. And he wrote questions to Paul and said, how's this supposed to happen in the church? I mean, this is back upstream when the whole church started, He wanted to know things about deacons and elders and how deacons deacon, elders el, and all this kind of stuff, and all these different things in the church. So Paul wrote him back with that in mind and gave him, how you should treat older women and younger women and that kind of a thing. But something happened in 2 Timothy, like the bottom fell out. What happened in 2 Timothy was this. A man by the name of Nero, the Roman emperor at that time, probably the most wicked ruler out of all the emperors at that time, came against the Church of Jesus Christ with severe, heavy-duty persecution. I won't go into detail along that line because of time. As a result, fear was rampant in the church. Fear was rampant in Timothy's church, and because of fear and intimidation, people were packing up their bags and they were leaving by the droves. And so all these people are defecting right and left. Why? Because of fear. Intimidation. Well, Timothy was still there. And Paul said in verse 4, I'm mindful of your tears, that I might be filled with joy. But notice this, verse 5, it says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned or genuine faith that was in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that is in thee also. Interesting. Paul brought to Timothy's remembrance. He goes, hey, I knew your grandma. I knew your mama. And he says, they weren't wimps. Because look, it says right here, verse 6, therefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. It dawned on me one day when I was reading this. He said nothing about his dad. So that showed me that if a person comes from a one-parent home, there's hope. Hallelujah. Say, my mama served God, but my dad was a reprobate man, or vice versa. Listen, all it takes is one Holy Ghost-filled parent. Are you with me? One Holy Ghost-filled parent that can make a difference in their kids' lives. Everybody say amen. Now, he says, the faith was in your grandmother and in your mother and I'm persuaded that it's in you. And he said this in verse 7, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Now, we know that verse. We've talked about that before. Anybody heard that scripture before? God has not given you and me the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Satan comes with one thing, fear. One thing, fear. What's God have? Power, love, sound mind. That's a 3-to-1 ratio. Guess what? We win. So today, what is it? What is it in your life? And you know more than anybody else. What is it in your life that's been an intimidation to you? What is it in your life that's been a fear to you? Okay? That's what you need to stand up against. Okay? When David faced Goliath, and by the way, Sister Paula, we put one of her poems in our bulletin today about David and Goliath. Read it when you come. It will bless your socks off. You have to go buy a pair of new socks. You know? But it's such a blessing. But when David faced Goliath, the Bible says that he ran towards Goliath. That's a little, maybe most people don't see that. They don't catch that. But it says he ran, wait a minute, towards Goliath? This guy's 11 and a half foot tall. He'll make basketball players look like midgets. Do you with me? And there's good reason to be intimidated. This guy's 11 and a half foot tall. Oh, come on. You're looking like this. You know what I'm saying? But the Bible says he ran towards Goliath. Goliath would say, make his statements, that what he said about the Israelites and cursed the name of their gods, But the Bible says David opened his mouth and he ran towards Goliath saying what he was going to do. Somebody wrote a book, Never Run at Your Giant with Your Mouth Closed. What did David do? He ran towards Goliath, opening his mouth saying, yeah, you said this, but I say this. I'm going to take your head off today. I'm going to give your carcass to the birds of the air. Amen? Hallelujah. To the buzzards, as we would say. And what did he do? He took the guy's head off. Hallelujah. He didn't do it in his own strength. He did it in the strength of God. But there's no question about the fact David probably felt afraid. David felt fear. And just because, and I'll conclude with this, just because you feel fear doesn't mean that you're afraid. When you do things for the first time and you step out on the limb and you stretch yourself and you move into greater territory than more than you've ever been in your life, you're going to feel afraid. You're going to feel intimidation. You're going to feel fear. But listen, don't interpret that as like, oh, I'm just so full of fear. You might feel it, but that doesn't mean that it's on the inside of you. Does that make sense? For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Hallelujah. So what's the enemy after? He's after your confidence. But if he can't take your confidence, he can't keep your victory. Listen, all of us have had unfortunate things happen in our lives. All of us. Maybe some more recently than others. We should not ever let that be an intimidation to us to shrink back and say, well, I tried. No. You step up to the plate and say, no, I'm going for it. I'm going for it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Okay, we'll do that, Lord. This is the time right now that we're going to face our fears. As we leave here, we're going to face whatever it is that has made you afraid. Now, it may be a subtle thing. It may be a blatant thing in your life. But listen, fear is still fear, and it shouldn't have any place. Okay? I mean, people can go on a diet and fear they're not going to lose weight. You know what I mean? Or you can have a guy that's holding a gun up at your back door saying, I'm going to come in and blow you out. They're both fear, and they're both from the devil. But fear shouldn't have any place in the life of a man or a woman of God. Okay? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us power. He's given us love. He's given us a sound mind. Praise God. So let's stand up. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless the Lord. Used to sing that song years ago. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Amen. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but he has given unto us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a sound mind. That's what he's given to us. Amen. You can sing that all day long. I've not been given the spirit of fear. Hallelujah. Say this with me. Heavenly Father,
I ask you today,
fill me with utterance
and godly boldness
to walk uprightly in this life. I believe today, with your help, I am delivered
from any and all fear of any kind.
I thank you for that today, Lord.
That I'm fear-free.
I'm faith-filled. In Jesus' name.
Praise
you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
We are Tiasokianasa. Yeah. Tokrianas Yatikaramasa Kotoso. Mama Keredisha Shishisha Kamara Kokokoso. Yeah. Do not be concerned. Do not be concerned when there's resistance when you step out to obey me, saith the Lord. That's no surprise to me. That's the way it's always been. Though you'll have resistance on this side and that side, pay not attention to that as if it's a sign that you're doing the wrong thing. But press on, get your eyes off the waves and off the wind, and look unto me, and you'll walk above the circumstances, and you'll walk in the supernatural. As you keep your face like flint towards me, and even look unto me, you'll not fail. You'll not fail, and you'll not go under. For they that trust in me shall be, as my word says, like Mount Zion, which can never be removed. So put your trust and put your faith in me, saith the Lord, and all shall be well. Consider not the wind, and consider not the waves and the circumstances, and yes, even what other people think. As you obey me and step out and do what I said, yes, there'll be those that are around you that are spiritually dead. They'll say, I don't understand them. They don't make any sense to me. Pay no attention to that. Keep your focus. Keep your focus on me, the Lord of hosts. And I will bring you through. I'll give you confidence. I'll give you great favor in the sight of your adversaries. And there'll be much cause for rejoicing because you'll know it came from me, saith the Lord. So let there be joy in my house today. You're my house. Let there be peace in my house today, for you are my house. Let peace and joy rise and crest to its fullest ebb in your life. And you'll never look back again. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.